this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? All 3 points. Not the most convincing performance. 2 penalties. Took the job to get us there, but I'll take it.
It was not pretty, but the boys got 3 points. And at the end of the day, you can play well and lose. You can play poorly and win. And why not play poorly and win at Old Trafford? We definitely needed to gut one out against West Ham. We play up to Barcelona. We play down to West Ham. That's about what the fan base thought would happen.
Hey, man, you analyze the result. You can analyze the performance. The performance was not great. The result is all that matters. We did need a win. We've had a bunch of losses in the last 5 games, so it's good to get a win at Old Trafford, get the 3 points, which keeps us in the race for the top four. But yeah, we should have created more. We should have taken our chances. We shouldn't have had to get bailed out by David De Gea a couple times in this game. You know, it wasn't the way we wanted to build going into the Barcelona game away, but at least it's a victory.
Beggars can't be choosers. When you desperately need points for a race for top four, Chelsea ain't going to be saying anything about winning on penalties. You know, so we got to take what we can get. A lot of changes, though. Jumping in the starting 11, we had Dave Says at the back, Dalot, Jones, Smalling, and Rojo. It's been a while for Rojo, but again, we return to the back four. We had Fred, Pogba, and Mata in the midfield. That is a new combination for the season. Martial, Lukaku, and Lingard. Lukaku playing number 9, Lingard on the wing. Unfortunately, Lukaku didn't find himself in the box too much during the game. We shall get to that a little later, sir. What did you think of this lineup?
Sir, I thought the people that were on the bench make sense to give Rashford a break, give McTominay a break, let Fred get another game under his legs. I think that makes sense. Him and Pogba are getting a rhythm together.
Does McTominay need a break?
Probably. Dude, after the job he did against Barcelona and what he's going to be asked to do again, I think he did. And Fred's probably had more minutes, so you can play him back-to-back-to-back the way he's probably going to be expected to do so. But I think McTominay, given his age and the amount of games he's played, he probably... You know, you want to have him fresh, and same with Rashford, which is why he wasn't starting. But I think this team's got to be good enough to go out there and beat West Ham at home.
Yeah, we're talking about a poor West Ham side right now. And something about the press conference, you guys haven't watched it. I watched the presser before this match, clearly after we recorded the pod on Thursday. But Ole hit the nail on the head with the fact that the strikers are not scoring in front of goal, and we're lacking the mojo, if you will, and the confidence to put the ball in the net. And again, the same theme. It seems to me that we do have good spells of play, but when the top three, when you're playing that 4-3-3, aren't firing, not penetrating, and we're not getting good crosses into the box, quality from our midfield as well, we're not going to be scoring goals. And I saw a lot of squandered opportunities today from Martial, from Lukaku, and Lingard. Juan Mata, you know, looking okay in the middle, but not a difference maker, so to speak.
Not a difference maker, being asked to play in a position that he's not really that comfortable playing in. But we created more than we did against Barcelona. Obviously, this is not Barcelona, but we got to be taking our chances. And you got to be scoring goals, right? If you're just relying on penalties, then you're not always going to bounce your way, especially when you're playing on the road like we're going to have to on Wednesday.
And the overall sentiment from the Twitterverse, and we're recording this literally
Tuesday,
20 minutes after the match, is pretty negative. I just looked at Twitter. Everyone's kind of slating the team, shit performance. And you know, it's a tight turnaround. We got Barcelona. So at the end of the day, I kind of look at this match as kind of throwaway. As long as we get the 3 points, it might have looked bad. But hey, it's better than losing, right? This race for top four, keep that intact. And then we can really put, you know, the all-star Scott McSauce in at Barcelona. That's really, we're kind of playing with a thin depth at midfield and across the pitch. Our striker's not firing. So you got to kind of take the 3 points.
You got to take it because you don't have a lot of options, right? Because Mata and Herrera are still not available. They do add a balance and a core to this team that, you know, even though Fred and McTominay played so well against Barcelona, you want to be able to mix it up and give different options to complement Paul Pogba. But we got to be creating more chances and we got to be taking those chances because they're going to be hard to come by on the second leg of the Champions League game. So you want something to build on, but dude, the victory is all that matters. So let's not get too negative. I think we did show some glimpses, but we came out flat again in the second half, which has been an issue, as we pointed out on earlier podcasts. So that's something to keep an eye on, and it seems to be a recurring theme.
Let's jump into the quick match recap. Again, we're trying to get this pod pumping as much content out to you American Red Devil listeners as possible, so this is going to be a little more brief than our normal breakdown, but again, we have a quick turnaround for Barca, and we figure getting it out sooner is better. Jumping in first half, United come out pretty well. I think Mata kind of showed his experience on the ball. There was much more space than against Barcelona, clearly. But then we kind of lost that momentum from the jump. And then the ninth minute, kind of our worst fear, again, conceding early. Felipe Luis actually does a good job on the volley from like a ball coming back into the box, finishes, and then it's called off sides. This was close debated. One. It was a very close decision. I bet you next season with VAR, this is a goal.
Yep.
And this could be our second disallowed offsides goal overturned to be a goal against us by VAR in 2 days. And I'm going to say he was onside. What do you think?
He's probably onsides. And you can argue that next year that would be a goal. And maybe that would have woken us up. But 10 minutes later, we were fortuitous, sir. We had some luck.
In the 19th minute.
There is the Frenchman. Mata. Scott Glass's challenge. Referee says penalty.
No. Well, initially I thought, no, I'll have to have a look at this replay.
And he scores this time, and there was no messing around. No stutter-stepping in the run-up, just a clinical finish from Paul Pogba. It's Manchester United 1, West Ham United 0.
Juan Mata in the box, coming together really here, I'm going to say, but since it was from behind, and it was in the box, I'm going to say this is penalty. We were watching the game. I shouted out penalty right away, as all fans at Old Trafford did. It was called a penalty. And then we're like, then you said to me, uh-oh, Pogba's stepping up to kick it. And clearly he's the penalty taker. I don't have a lot of confidence in his penalties, but he seemed to ditch the cheeky run-up this game for whatever reason.
Actually, it wasn't the best penalty, but thankfully Fabianski guessed the wrong way.
Yeah, it was kind of a savable penalty. Definitely. By Pogba. Again, Rashford, for me, is a penalty taker. If you can score in Paris, qualification to the next round of the Champions League on the line, you should be the man. He's not on the field, so it's kind of an empty complaint. Paul P., as long as you score it, I got no complaints. Rest of the first half, kind of more of the same. United kind of looking
a little better after getting that goal.
Fits and starts, but again, we score early, we kind of sit back. It's like that Paul Pogba captain material there. You kind of see we score a goal, everything's good. We play like we have a 3-goal lead, and then we kind of let West Ham in the game. Going in at half, sir, what were your thoughts, key takeaways from United?
I mean, there's a frustration that you kind of alluded at, and that's we don't kill teams off. You know, after getting that goal, the penalty, which was fortunate, not to say it was undeserved, but you got to go and then just take the knife to West Ham and kill him off in the first half, and instead.
But the chances weren't there, to be honest.
We had some chances, but we should have stepped up the intensity. We weren't playing direct enough, quick enough. You need to create more. And we didn't have the right level of tempo, considering that you have a goal, and I think you really do want to kill the game off so you can bring some subs in.
And one note would be on our counter opportunities. We could play fast, furious. It wasn't coming off. The Lukaku and the Lingard link up and Martial. You know, when you're playing counterattack, everyone's got to be on the same page. It seemed like we were a little off.
Definitely.
Lingard hasn't got a lot of playing time and a lot of pulling the ball up. We kind of get on that counter. We have numbers, and then we kind of pulled it back. West Ham reorganized. And for whatever reason, we're not good at breaking teams down. So our best opportunity to score, you know, like we'll get to the second penalty soon, would be hitting them straight up on the counter. And that is where we're the most dangerous. That's why against a team like Barcelona, you know, we could beat them at the Camp Nou. That's but at West Ham, we can't break down.
That's the best we've looked under Ole, is on the counter. And that's the best way we've been able to score goals, whether usually it's from a takeaway in midfield or from, you know, a set piece on our end. But we've like in the last couple of games, we've lost that. It looks so fluid and so easy. Like right as soon as Ole was here, the boys were playing confidently and like carefree and just going for it. And now it's not coming off in the final third. You know, like the passes, the movement, it just, there seems to be something that's not clicking. And you know, hopefully we write that in the next
ship
game.
Ship a few of them out, but hey, let's jump into the second half. 50th minute.
In towards Hernandez and Anderson, and he can't keep it out this time, David De Gea. And Felipe Anderson scores his 10th goal of the season. And West Ham, who have been good in the attack all day, have got themselves a goal. Manchester United 1, West Ham 1.
Marcus Rojo sleeping at the back post. Felipe Luis, he looked dangerous all game for West Ham. If anyone was going to score, he would. 1-1. How are you feeling after this goal, sir?
Rojo showing his rust. Felipe Luis is a good little player, but we shouldn't be conceding that at home. But we did not start the better team in the second half. We came out soft, slow, and that's kind of been repeating over and over again, sir. So that's something that Ole has to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and it was damage control. There was a screenshot of Ole on the bench. He looked shook. That's why he had to make some changes. 56th-minute Rasheron for Mata.
Good change, though, I would say.
Yeah, I thought he was going to come for Lingard. We were kind of discussing that. Mata comes off, and then things start kicking for United. The fans, Old Trafford, Ole's at the wheel, starts singing. And then 59th-minute, immediately, Rashford impact, had a great chance. It looked close. It was tight angle, but still close. He had keeper had a lot to do. Again, another chump keeper keeping us out of the net. I said, oh, I'm having flashbacks. This is another one. And then the 75th minute, not enough doing for Manchester United. So Greenwood and Pereira come on for Lukaku and Rojo. And I love this sub from Ole. He's like, hey, Lukaku's not doing it. Next man up. That's the mentality. If you listen to the press conference, we're going to be ruthless in the summer. If you're not doing it, get out of the team because we're going to put someone in who can. I really like that sub for the manager.
And I like both series of subs, these urgency, right? Making a sub in the 56th minute, that's good. Like, you don't have to wait to the 60th to make a sub because Mata was finished and you needed someone like Rashford with his pace. He's a difference maker. And then the double sub, it was due and it had an impact.
And Ole went all in. I mean, he took off Rojo. You're putting on a midfielder for basically your left back there and doing a good job. The team was basically like, the chips are all in. After this sub, you saw how vulnerable we looked on the counterattack because we were going for the win.
And those initial 5 minutes after this sub, they got a little nervy. They had two big chances, sir. Right?
Huge.
76th minute, Antonio hits the post. Bang, rockets.
Terrible throw-in. We had the ball off a throw-in. So I think it was DeLow threw it to Pogba. He was marked. Turned it over, hits the post in the 78th. Another header to Dave Says. World-class stuff from the keeper. De Gea putting his stamp on the game, keeping us in it. And then, sir, we didn't have to wait much longer after that. In the 80th minute.
Play through to Martial. Anthony Martial. Down he goes. It's a penalty. Well, it was Fredericks on Martial. It's a yellow card. And a penalty for Manchester. Who scores again? Same result, same player. And Manchester United get their noses back in front in a game they need to win. Manchester United 2, West Ham 1.
Martial one-on-one with the keeper, a crunching challenge from behind in the box. I think well played to Martial. Clear pen. I thought it might have been a red, but looking at the replay, my gut tweeted out, how's that not a red? And he's going for the ball, so it's got to be a yellow. Still from behind, scissor challenge on Martial in the box. I have to look up the rules. I'm not a rules expert. I'm not a referee.
Not a rules. You're definitely not a rules expert.
That was pretty aggressive.
Penalty is a penalty, and that's all that matters. I was a little nervous with that run up coming up, but thankfully,
I was sweating that Pogba pen pretty hard, and that one was much better than the first. So Pogba converting. I mean, still, I think Rashford's got to be the penalty taker there. What do you think?
Well, after he's hit one, I think you got to give it to him, and he did not do the tippy tap run up. He actually just ran up and slammed it home, and it was a good penalty. So, big goal for Paul Pogba.
Yeah, that pretty much wrapped up. Phil Jones got a real crunching tackle to the head. I think it was an elbow. Got him. He opened up his face. I tweeted out everything for the badge. Phil Jones, like you said, he had a great game. If it wasn't for him, we probably wouldn't have been in this game. A lot of last-ditch challenges by Phil Jones. And hey, we re-signed him. He's on the bench. He's not going to be playing against Messi, but against West Ham, he can do a job. So that's all we really asked for him.
He might be playing against Messi. He might make that team, sir.
I think Lindelof's got to be playing against Barcelona. Lindelof and Smalling. Smalling played well, too. So, our defender's stepping up to the plate under Ole. Clearly under Mourinho, we played much worse, but Smalling and Jones both doing a job. Nothing like a good head wrap mid-match.
That Wayne Rooney style. I loved it.
That led to 5 nervy minutes of stoppage time. We cleared that, sir. Got rid of a few crosses, a few long balls, and easy as you like. Whistle is blown. 3 points at home. Old Trafford, that's all we got to say. Forget the match. There's no reason to slate the boys. A lot of rotation, a lot of injuries. Hey, what do we know? Let's check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
No, I can't hide that. Sometimes you get more than what you deserve, and today is one of them. Knights, Watford last time as well was one of them. But then again, Wolverhampton and Arsenal, the two away games we've lost, then we should have won. So it evens itself out in the long run. But it, of course, it's we were lucky today to get away with 3 points. Well, even a draw at one point there, I would have taken.
It's going to need a huge step up on that in midweek, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Luckily, there wasn't Barcelona on the other side, but West Ham played well, played better than us, created chances. Then again, I've said it so many times, we have one of the best goalkeepers in the world. So that save again is like unbelievable. He won us the game, because on 2-1 we would have struggled to create enough. Then again, we sit there with 3 points and we got the points. Yeah,
we dug it out. Dave stepped up. Pogba hit two from the spot, and look, 3 points. We're in the fight here. We got to focus on top four.
Ole marches on, man. It's all about the 3 points, but the result performance can be slated. But hey, let's not worry about it. We got a big game coming up.
Checking on top four, sir. Give us the table. Let us know where we stand.
So we got, unfortunately, the Scouse Bastards, as it currently stands, at top of the table on 82 points. City with 80 points. Tottenham with 67 points. Chelsea, 66 points. United, 64 points. And Arsenal, the game in hand, at 63 points. They play Watford away on Monday. And Chelsea-Liverpool is tomorrow, sir. That's a big game.
So when we're looking at Chelsea, I mean, Chelsea's going to lose to Liverpool, or at best draw, and that's going to help us out. But again, they've played 33. We've played 33. Arsenal with 32. So Chelsea has an extra game. And if they lose, then when we play, we're going to surpass Chelsea. And if if Arsenal choke, we're in really good position for top four. That's why everyone slating the players after this match. I know it's not pretty, but when you look at this table and you see Arsenal having to play Watford, who came off a big FA Cup semifinal win, I mean, I really do rate Watford doing some damage to Arsenal. And if they draw, we are in pole position in top four, sir.
And as much as I rate Watford, I certainly don't rate Arsenal away.
Exactly. So it is not over. It all depends week to week. Can you win these matches? And that's how we have to look at the table. So before we were getting at the odds, we don't have good chances, but ignore that. I think you have to take it week by week. Arsenal can choke, Chelsea can choke, and things are going to change. I think top four is, you know, if I was a betting man, I might lay a few dollars on Manchester United at 15%.
I'll have to check out the odds for next pod, sir.
Well, they were 15% coming in, but that was before,
451, yeah.
Before us winning this match, clearly, but I mean, were they 30% now without Arsenal? If Arsenal lose, then we're up to 50%.
Even better, yeah,
so,
yeah, I'd agree.
I mean, it's how does the ball bounce? How do the football gods, do they lean on you with penalties? Do they lean on you with bad
calls? What happens if Chelsea wins? If Chelsea wins tomorrow, then it changes everything too, because then it's like,
well, it changes the race for the title, all these things.
And they're firmly in third, right? I mean, it's going to be very nervy stuff, sir.
With five games left for us, and, you know, Arsenal have six left, this is must-watch territory. Like, I'm going to watch Chelsea-Liverpool tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to watch Arsenal-Watford Monday. I mean, this is, like, all in. You can't get better than this.
Must-see
TV. The title race can't get better than this. The race for top four can't get better than this. And as a fan, I might ask Manchester United to have a little more daylight for the race for top four. But, hey, we're going to be paying attention. Our hearts are either going to be broken or Ole's at the wheel. How good does it feel?
Well, that's why Ole's the man, right? Because we weren't even supposed to be in this race based on the way Jose was driving this thing into the ground. So to be back well and truly in it, you know, we've had like a rough patch the last month, but we got the result today and everything left to play for.
Speaking of everything left to play for, sir, there's Champions League football. We might be lifting some silverware this season. We got Barcelona.
Speaking of mountains.
Tuesday, April 16th. 12 p.m. the quarterfinal second leg, Barca 1-0 on aggregate, sir. The music is playing. How are you feeling heading to Barcelona after this dismal performance against West Ham? Can we miracle in Barca?
Sir, never say never. I mean, I don't know what the odds are. They might be around that 15%, but United is a special club for a lot of reasons, but we are never out of a tie, dude. Never out of a tie. McSauce gets McRested, and I think he's going to be ready to go. And we play up and down to our competition. We played down to West Ham, but we played up to Barca. We played them at Old Trafford, and we got to do the same thing and more at Camp Nou and play like the best game we played all season, bro. They're better than Juventus, probably. They're better than PSG, and we need a special performance.
I think the table is set for Manchester United to go in and upset Barcelona. Either we're going to lose by four or we're going to win by two. Or it's going to be like, you know, something like Paris, because the way we play, we're better when the opponent has the ball. And the way we looked against Barcelona when they were at our house, I mean, we looked dangerous. We probably should have won that game if we could have someone in front of goal, have someone a little more dangerous to take on
the
man.
Right wing.
Yeah, there you go, sir. I mean, there's a lot of different... You can dissect that game all you want. Then you can look at West Ham and be like, how's that the same team? A lot of questions in the air, but as far as how Ole plays, how we like to play, how Barcelona have to win, like they're going into this game like they can't lose. And we're going on the game into this game with nothing to lose.
Nothing.
And that matters a lot. Barcelona has choked before in the Champions League. They are probably favorites. I think City's probably favorites to lift the trophy. They're probably number two on the list. Again, having all that pressure on them and us going in with kids, basically, a ragtag crew saying, hey, we did it in Paris. We believe. You know, as a Manchester United fan, I got to take those odds. So I think it's plus 500. I'm going to take that easy money. Every once in a while, you win. Checking in with injuries with the physioroom.com. Matic is out with an illness. Ole said he might make it back for Barcelona. We shall see. Probably too soon. Given McTominay's in form, I think you play him. Herrera, again, couldn't make it back, but contract talks, injury, a lot of questions being asked about Herrera right now. I doubt it. Baye still out with a concussion. Valencia with a muscle injury. Sanchez's knee could be back. I think Ole was talking about him as well, but again, bench at best. And then you have Darmian, you know, is in that physio room trying to adjust those sideburns, making sure those chops are in form, just not ready.
They're not.
There's a aerodynamic factor as well when it comes to just getting the chops just
it's
right.
It's like getting your tires realigned.
It's like getting them realigned. They're working on it hard. Mick Phelan's in there measuring those bad boys. Lineup, sir, who do you got?
Ooh, sir, Barcelona away. Big match. And Luke Shaw's unavailable, right, because accumulation of yellows, keep me honest, sir. So we have David De Gea in net. I'm thinking it's going to be...
Rojo
in net. Romero in net. Lee Grant is finally going to get a start. David De Gea in net. Right back at DeLow. And I'm going to do three at the back. Smalling, Lindelof, and Jones. And then Ashley Young at left wing back. And then a midfield of Fred, McTominay, Pogba, Rashford, Lukaku.
Well, I'm interesting. You're switching Ashley Young and DeLow. DeLow played on the right, didn't look as good against West Ham. Played on the left, looked better against Barcelona. Plus, I think that Barcelona attack on the left, I think he might stick with that. Either way, I'm abandoning the three at the back here. I'm going four. De Gea, Young left back, Smalling, Lindelof, DeLow, and the right back slot. Fred, McTominay, Pogba, Martial, Rashford, and Lingard, sir. Those three up front, more pace. I think you got to sit big Luke. He is clearly, he's skunked. Whatever is going on in his head, him playing out on the wing, he didn't look bad at West Ham, but the fact he's not finding himself in the box, being dangerous, we're not utilizing in the right way, always trying to fit him in a different system, I think you got to go with pace.
There you go. Even though he doesn't have a track record last time we had the second leg away, but...
This is true. We got a bold move. We got to be ruthless. Booking the bookies, Barcelona, minus 194 to win. So clearly heavy favorites. They're playing at home. They do not lose at the Camp Nou very often, especially in the Champions League. United plus 532, sir. So you're getting more than five times your money to bet on United. I'll definitely put a tenner on that. And the draw plus 352. That will not help us to go through. But if you're feeling frisky on the betting side, you never know. Sir, prediction, what do you got?
Ooh, sir. Fortune favors the bold. I'm calling 2-1 United. Ole marches on.
I'm going to say 1-0 United. We lock them up. We hit them with a counterattack goal. Extra time, penalties. We go on. You know, it's not easy.
All she wrote.
Not easy on the heart as a United fan, as the season hasn't been. Just more drama. Giant killer, sir.
Penalties. Ooh, penalties. Well.
United in the news. Kicking off with our first article. We talk about this a lot. The director of football, according to Sky Sports, the top English clubs are all courting Paul Mitchell, who is at Leipzig. He is the main man. Everyone wants to be their director of football, former Southampton man. And I think Chelsea, Arsenal, and we are in the mix.
Three-way tug-of-war, sir. They're all looking for a new DOF. He's the hot name. And the only thing that would give us the advantage is he is a Manc, local lad, so you'd think he'd want to come up north instead of going to London. But the thing that wouldn't help is that I don't think Ed wants to give him full reins, you know, complete control, final sign off. So that might be what makes us lose him.
And Eddie Woodward, always going to be a problem for Manchester United fans. Never get rid of him, no matter how terrible the football we watch is. Next article, Manchester United's Solskjaer to make ruthless decisions in the transfer market, per ESPN. So ESPN taking one word that he said from the press conference and putting it in out of context and making a kind of clickbaity title.
Welcome
per ESPN.
Welcome to 2019, sir.
Either way, I did. If you haven't watched this press conference, I would. He did kind of signal that he's very disappointed we're not scoring in front of the goal. I think he might have been singling out Lukaku there, as he has been kind of off and on for United, as well as he talked about Herrera and Pogba. And I like his attitude. He's the way he wants to play is the way I want us to play. He went all in against West Ham. We got rewarded for that. We got the 3 points. I like that he put Greenwood in when no one else is scoring. It's like next man up. That's the way Fergie was. You don't care. It's like you're not scoring, next person in. Yep. It's all about results at Manchester United. I like that style. And again, we're in for another rebuild, sir. How you feeling?
Hey, I mean, hopefully Woodward has seen that, like, we brought in Mourinho. If you don't back the manager, you can't really expect them to make magic happen. Solskjaer has made magic happen without having a real stamp on the team. Give him some real money. Allow him to have influence on who comes in and who goes. I think Ole can make this into a really great team. So a lot is hinging on Woodward, bro. Woodward actually like backing the manager in a real way and not just saying, like, this is who you got to sign. This is the marketability. We need to sell more noodles. This is how you increase noodle penetration in the Southeast.
Hashtag Woodward 350, sir. That's the way we're doing. Next article, Herrera was offered double his wages and turned it down. Per Forbes. I don't know, Forbes here.
Forbes.
I guess what are they, sir? They're in the wage game. Again, I thought this was a money grab. Apparently, what was Herrera on? 125. That means we offered him 250
a week. 115 maybe.
I think you're right. 115. We offered him 230 a week, more than PSG. He turned it down. Apparently, he's got a bad taste in his mouth about what's going on, maybe with Ole, maybe with Ed Woodward. Either way, it doesn't add up to me. It seems to me Herrera likes Manchester United. That might all be smoke. I don't know why he's leaving for PSG if we offered him more money.
Is
he thin-skinned? What's going on here?
I mean, that could be false. That could be United
presenting
that
to save
face.
There's a few sources that reported this.
I mean, Forbes is not exactly a tier one, sir.
But it was Forbes, Mail, and I want to say I want to say maybe like Sun, but this was everywhere. This was clearly someone's putting this out.
In
could
the
be
doldrums.
United.
It was probably in the doldrums. But
we offered him good money. It was comparable money to stay. I'm going to say if Ole rates him, they went to Ole, you like him, they would offer him comparable money. There's no reason they wouldn't. And clearly there's an intangible factor as to why he's heading out the door. I don't know why that is.
Well, I think we just bought a $50 million man that is starting to come due. And, you know, he might actually be a better version of Ander Herrera. And they said, hey, 200,000 a week. That's a lot.
I think he's not playing because of contract shit. Like, I think Herrera out of the squad has to do with the contract.
It's a phantom injury.
But it was funny. We were looking up the wages, and we saw that McTominay is currently making 10K a week.
25 now. He just got a raise.
He got a raise. So McTominay, 25K a week. But so if he ain't complaining, Herrera, what are you whining about?
He makes less than Lee Grant. Lee Grant makes 30. Scott McSauce is going to be the crux of the biscuit.
I wish I was Lee Grant.
I
wish I was Lee Grant.
Lee Grant's just chilling,
just like
30K
hanging out
a week.
The bench, hanging out with all the boys, just taking the bus everywhere, watching the greatest team in the world. Next article, this is a little Gossip Girl-ish. Quote, what he did was a car crash. Ryan Giggs' brother, Rodri Giggs, reveals he has forgiven Manchester United legend for having an affair with his wife, but hasn't spoken to him in more than 7 years, per the Mail. Just got to get this out there. You know, Ryan Giggs, he's on all these talk shows, everything. Everyone kind of forgave him for this, but he did shag his brother's wife while I believe his wife was pregnant. More, but him and his brother have fallen out. But the hysterical part about this is Rodri Giggs in all these betting commercials. He's basically in all these betting commercials about, like, like losing and being okay with everything, his life falling apart, like all this. Like, so he's actually, his brother's made money off this whole thing. And a lot of United fans do not talk about this, but I kind of lost the, Ryan Giggs lost this whole, you know, his whole, I'm going to say legendary status after this one. I mean, he has done a lot for the shirt, but you can only, off the pitch definitely matters a little bit. And this one was kind of like, as low as you can go. As low as you can go.
I mean, hell of a player. Hell of a player.
Hell of a player. Hell scored a great goal.
I mean, he was like Academy lad, scored some unbelievable goals for this club, but I'm not going to defend that. I don't even want to. I'm like most United fans. We don't want to talk about it. I don't
want
to talk about it.
I know. You didn't even want to put this on the pod.
I didn't.
Yeah, we don't talk about it enough, but this is like, you know, Ryan Giggs.
Not a great look.
Not a good look. It's like Suarez, right? It seems like everyone gave Suarez a pass. It seems a lot of people have given Ryan Giggs a pass, but you, every once in a while, you got to bring it up.
Didn't Jamie Carragher spit on a little girl like a year ago?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that was, yeah. Everyone's got their...
And there are levels, right? Giggs is worse.
This is probably
Suarez
the worst
is pretty
I've
bad.
Seen.
Spits a little...
John Terry and Wayne Bridge back in the day.
Jesus,
you remember that
no one
as
talks
well.
About that.
That's probably not as bad as the brother. Yeah, the teammate, you know, brother. That's like a little much for the brother. You got a brother. Hey,
I got a couple brothers.
You got a couple brothers. They murder you. You're dead. You'd be dead.
I'm good. Anyway, let's move on. Right, fan questions.
That's enough of our Gossip Girl feature of the week. Fan questions. This is some hot Twitter reactions since we're recording right after the match. At C. Monk Conan. Quote, yeah, 3 points, but the win feels different when it's off pens. West Ham scored by themselves, and those goals are what we should be putting in. I just want to see the boys finish more. Dave saves again. Our forwards were on and off, and they gave the ball up a bit much. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. I mean, definitely a solid take at C. Monk on Twitter here. Winning off penalties, it kind of has a bad taste in your mouth. That Martial chance, though, I mean, that's a clear. He would have buried that if the penalty. The Mata one, I hear you on that.
Yeah.
But again, 3 points, and sometimes people forget when we won the title with Sir Alex again and again, we gutted out a lot of ugly games that we didn't win. And because the team was at top of the table, if you're number one and you win like this, ain't no thing. You don't complain a bit.
Liverpool's won games like this.
Yeah, and the thing is when you're number five in the table or number six in the table, you're battling for top four and the boys haven't beaten Barcelona and, you know, it's been a tough season all around. This is when you're criticizing the result. You're criticizing the performance a little too harshly. And I think the Twitterverse is pretty negative. Well, I'm not on it right now, sir. That's why I'm recording this pod.
Focus on the good things. Focus on 3 points. Puts us in a good position. Hey, there's plenty to dissect and criticize about the way we played.
But a great quote about it, I just want to see the boys finish more. It's exactly the issue. And Ole hit it like nail on a head at the press conference. We got to be putting balls in nets, and we are not doing it. We just have a drought. Our mojo's not there unless Paul Pease hit it from the penalty spot. Next tweet, at Marty P. FIFA. Quote, at USA Red Devils, thought after the match, 1, 3 points is 3 points. 2, people need to relax with Paul P. He's playing within the team, doing a good job and doing just fine. 3, can we get Rashi and Martial up top together against Barca? And 4, we give us Declan Rice yesterday. Hashtag Woodward350. So let's get it. 1, we've been saying it all pod. 3 is 3. 2, I do agree people kind of need to relax on Paul Pogba. At least the criticism on the pitch, off the pitch is fair game considering he's flirting with Madrid. I want to say the NBC LFC commentators were slating him for that mid-match.
They love to allude to it. They love to just buy into all the rumors. You know, even if they're tier three, they will just feed that beast all day long.
Hey, look, the way I view it is he stays good. If he stays and he's pumped about being at United, great. I don't want to force him to stay when he's not pumped because you can sell him for a lot of money, and that's not that bad of a result. So either way, I think we're sitting pretty with Paul Pogba. Either he stays in the team and he wants to be at United over the long term, maybe give him a bumper deal. Rumors were coming out pre-kickoff on that negotiating the new deal as well. Number 3 here, Rashford and Martial up top. I think we got to go Rashford solo because Martial's been off the mark, and we need someone to get the ball into Rashford. So I don't know if we're playing 2 up top. I think we'll do a lone number 9. What do you think at Barca?
I mean, I think Martial had our best chance against Barcelona at home. I think he's going to play Lukaku because of his size. So I think he's going to have thunder and lightning size and pace with him and Rashford. So that's why I think he's going to start those two and then bring maybe Martial off the bench.
You rate Declan Rice? You won him yesterday?
I don't know, sir. It depends. Depends if we can get Toni Kroos.
I would take Cruz over over Rice, but he does look like a young talent coming up, and obviously playing him, he is a transfer target of ours. So I would rate him coming in. I like youth. I like youth.
He's young. Cruz, he's old. He looks good. He's got a lot of upside potential, and he's definitely young. So if what we said last pod about them prioritizing young English talent is true, then he would be on our radar.
And one comment that we made during the match was how Paul Pogba decides to do is going to determine what the future of our midfield looks like.
Right.
You wouldn't get a Toni Kroos if Paul Pogba stayed. You might get a Toni Kroos if Paul Pogba leaves. Depends, like, keeping Mata depends on Pogba, right? We were saying if Mata plays in a midfield two with, like, a Pereira and Mata in a pivot, and then you have Matic as a CDM, looks much more different than when you have to have two people doing the defensive work for Paul P. So depending on what he decides to do is going to depend on what we're going to need. So Declan Rice might need to come in if Paul leaves. When I need two midfielders, so again, hashtag Pog drama. What he decides to do,
it's gonna have a huge impact. The team's built around Pogba, right?
I know.
At the moment. So if you're gonna change that, then you got to bring in a whole different approach.
Too much change for my liking this summer. And again, when you bring in a lot of new players and you reshuffle things at United, it just doesn't usually work out that first season. Think about it. Liverpool, they needed a season. City, they needed a season. Now they're firing all cylinders, and next year, I know the fans on this pod don't want to hear it. We're going to need a season. So we might not be top four. Right?
I think that's why, like, if you want us to be up and firing sooner rather than later, I think we have to keep Paul Pogba.
Because exactly.
There'd just be so much more work to do. If we have to ship Pogba, you have to buy, like, two, three players. It just, the rebuild is a lot sooner. If keep Pogba around, keep him happy. He probably wants to just, you know, if he's going to stay happy, you probably give him huge money. But if he plays consistently in scoring goals, he did score two big penalties for us today. Won us the game technically, so if he's scoring goals, bro, he has a role to play.
Technically speaking, yes.
Technically, when he's scoring.
Hey, when he's involved, we usually win. So that is, you play to win the game. We play to win 3 points. Sir, a little bit of housekeeping here. It's been a pleasure doing the podcast this year. We've been busting our tails trying to get you guys as much content after every match as possible, including wedding days and bachelor parties and all the travel in between. We have been committed to doing so. And something that we haven't done yet that we're actually going to be doing shortly is actually getting a survey out to you guys. We'd love to get some feedback from you, the fans. This is a podcast made by fans, for fans, and we want to hear from you guys what segments you like, the format of the podcast, any commentary, any way we can make this better for you guys. That is what we were interested in getting. And to think that we've just been running this podcast off the top of our head for 2 years, talking into mics, it's about time we hear from you guys, the fans. So we appreciate you supporting us throughout these 2 years. It's been a crazy ride in the content creation game, sir.
Always trying to get better. We are not professionals, you know, hobbyists.
You can't tell.
Talking about our favorite team, but it has been a wild and crazy last 2 years. Enjoying the podcast. I hope you guys are enjoying it too. But just give us your feedback. I'm sure there's probably too many sirs, but maybe we could tighten it up, change the format a little bit, get rid of some sections.
There's anything we should add, let us know, and like we'll get you that survey out hopefully next week. And our prize for the survey will be our new scarf and next season's jersey, a player and size of your choosing. So if you fill out the survey, we'll be hooking you up with some swag, give you that big Chevy logo and the inaugural American Red Devils scarf. And we have just posted a photo of the first design on Twitter. If you have any comments on that, please get them to us because we will be getting that in most likely before the summer, ordering a batch. And then next season, we'll be giving away a scarf every month for the best fan, top lad. You could also purchase them as well. So get your feedback in, sir. But hey, it's been a hell of a ride. We got Champions League football. Give us our top downloads last 7 days.
Don't forget, it's going to be top lad or lass. We do have some female American Red Devil fans out there, and we appreciate you just as much as the males. Top cities, last 7 days. Number one, hometown, San Francisco, California. How you doing? Number two, Sammamish, Washington. And number three, Arlington, Virginia. Sir, number four, you remember these guys.
The Shire, Oslo, Norway, on the board ever since Ole grabbed that wheel. Now we love having the Shire on. Number five, London, United Kingdom. Not a bad place, sir. Number six, New York, New York. Number seven, where's the maple syrup? Toronto, Canada. Sir, finish us up.
Number eight, Seattle, Washington. Special shout out to the Seattle Red Devils. How you doing?
Seattle Red Army.
How you doing? Number nine, Orlando, Florida. And number 10, Los Angeles, California.
Thank you so much for the downloads and the support. We appreciate you. And before the survey, the best way you guys can support this podcast, get us a review on iTunes. That is how people find us organically. You share on social media. You leave a cheeky review on iTunes. It helps us go up the standings. There's some amazing reviews out there so far. And if you give us a review, 5 stars, cheeky banter, we'll send you a sticker, free American Red Devil sticker. All you got to do is take a screenshot of the review and send it to our email, AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com, or direct message us on Twitter at USA Red Devils. And we will get you a sticker as soon as I get those stamps. Sir, I still have not gotten to the post office. I need to re-up hard on some stamps.
That's how low tech we are. There's no automated thing. It's John is literally licking every envelope, writing the address by hand, and sending it to our fans who write these reviews, send them in. We love sharing the stickers. Great sticker.
Yeah, and then we're pumped to step up our game in the swag department. I really rate this scarf that we're making. Would love everyone's comment. If you have a moment, check it out on Twitter. It says American Red Devils. That's what we all are. That is what this podcast is for, all you guys out there. So, hey, it's been a hell of a ride. Not the best performance, but I'll take the results, sir. How good does it feel?
And he's at the wheel.